Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings on this Friday morning. This is Sound the Shofar. I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Warn Radio, Sound the Shofar, along with all of our other broadcasts, are not call-in shows. And if you wish to get a hold of us, correspondence, inquiries, or something, you need to go through the contact pages on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Anybody that wants to get a hold of us and discuss things with us, that's what they do. And we do have some other arenas, but basically, when it comes down to it, we have a show time, and we're not going to get into what a lot of people do. That's not what we do. This is for the Word of God, and we discuss a lot of other things, but basically, at any rate, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter by the handle WatchmanIS216, on Instagram and Twitter, Warn Radio, one word, Watchman on LinkedIn. Excuse me. We are also have several groups. We have we've begun to form them because of the security and the nature of the platforms. One is USA.life. You'll find us over there. And you'll find us on MeWe. And the USA.life is actually an answer to Twitter and Facebook. It's secure. They don't ban. There's a lot of Christians and others over there that don't like the way the modern liberal techies are trying to take the internet. A lot of them are punks. They know code, but they're still punks. And there's a lot of people that, including on Facebook, that are not very friendly and not very mindful, I should say. To be fair. But enough of that. Be sure to check out my new article this week, Christian Faith versus Frailties, Fiction, and Failure. Sometimes we find that society is its own worst enemy. And then you add in the social media, Hollywood, and other networks, which makes it even worse. And so that's why we say we're our own worst enemy. But there is hope. And there's a message, so check this out. Enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, even in America, as we have the immorality flooding across this land, the hedonistic behavior, the corruption. There are enemies of the cross. But even as I say that, there's hope in a message, and we are finding, and we report on it weekly, people come into the Lord, a lot of them. So the next time the devil, the demon, or some unbeliever, or anybody else tries to tell you that the cross is in danger, the cross is done with. Okay? The Muslims still trying to fight the holders of the cross itself. In the Catholic Church, the cross is a big deal. And even in Christianity, we have a tendency to have crosses. But the cross is done with. Christ went to the cross already. You think he's going to hang on that cross forever? Give me a break. He immediately ascended to his Father. And if you listen to our Revelation series, you'll find a portion in there where I tell you that is Christ's triumph and his return. It's in Revelation. That was from the cross. See, he succeeded. He overcame. He defeated all principalities and powers. No more said. He's on the throne. He's ruling as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. It's not my problem that the world of men think they're the ones in charge. It's not my fault. You have billionaires with all the money in the world think they can just buy and sell and have no repercussions. Well, in the next life, all those who have used their money for dishonesty and corruption and who have rejected Christ, they will get their reward. But Christ has come to set you free. That's the hope. That's the message. And so the day of, I should say, trumpets, and that's what this is, prophetic joy, Rosh Hashanah. And of course, that day is over. This is part three. We're wrapping it up this morning because you have a 10-day period in there, a high holy days where you focus on relationships, both to God and to men around you, horizontal and vertical. Make sure you're right with God and you seek his face and make sure that you haven't sinned against somebody else. Now, there's a lot of leeway in there, especially for the devil to bring you trouble. But if you have an open and honest heart before God, the devil don't matter. If him and his minions get in the way, just rebuke him in Jesus' name. The Lord said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil's got a lot of people that will welcome him. He don't want to mess around with those who want to rebuke him in Jesus' name. Unless, of course, you happen to have a big ministry or you're somebody important that he feels he needs to take down. So he'll tolerate some of that and he'll come back. You know, he will flee, but he will come back when you're not looking. So we're looking over a few scriptures, summing this up. You know, the big hope we have when we talk about trumpets. And I remember years ago, Zola Levitt, who was a good brother in the Lord, a Jewish messianic, has a ministry. It's still going today. And he was talking about the fact that the Lord is going to come again. And he believed that it was going to come on trumpets. Well, trumpets begins a new year, but, you know, the fall feast, the atonement, the Day of Atonement represents and was fulfilled by Christ on the cross. In the Old Testament, the atonement was done through the sacrifices in the temple and the priests who performed these things. In the new covenant, Christ was the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And so he fulfilled atonement for all of us, Jew, Gentile, male and female. So now, when we talk about trumpets, is his coming. Atonement is what he did for all mankind to make it possible for you to be in his kingdom. And tabernacles represents his kingdom and his rule and his reign, where he sets up upon his throne the one that is prophesied about, the greater son of David, the promises God gave to David. It was interesting. I was talking to Tower yesterday, and I was making a note that when we think of David, you know, David was a warrior king. He had mighty victories. But the only thing many Gentiles remember about him is his adultery with Bathsheba and his conniving to get her husband Uriah murdered. But he was a lot more than that. And God had forgiven him for that. But it's amazing how we do this in today's society as Gentiles. But see, trumpets is the beginning, not the ending. When we talk about sounding the shofar, sounding the trumpet, that's not ending the meeting. It is the beginning of a new chapter. One that we look forward to. I do. My wife does. Many others. There is a hope that we have been given. And so when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, meaning the Lord's coming, you want to be prepared. You want to be ready. And so that's why the Jews actually, you know, they celebrate that. They have, it's not so much a celebration as it is circumspectly walking, making sure that, you know, well, like my dad said, God gave us conscience. He was a great believer in the Lord. He accepted the Lord as a young man, child, I think, preteen. And had a big crusade at Amy Simple McPherson. His mother was there, and his brother and sister. They didn't go, but he did. And his mother was a Christian. She died early of cancer. I never met her. I met my step-grandmother. He raised me, and my mom raised me believing. I was raised in the church, yet when we look at the whole thing, he taught me about conscience. We have a conscience. God gave you a conscience for a reason, to do things that are right before God. Now, of course, the Bible speaks of seared consciences and hardened conscience. That's where you stubbornly in sin reject that which your conscience is trying to tell you, and it becomes hardened and corrupted. You can't trust it because you've corrupted it. You've rejected the truth. But the bottom line of it is when you walk in these high holy days, it's circumspectly. You look and, well, you know, I need to do this, I need to do that. Well, you know, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now see, this is, you know, the church today in America and around the world, the pagan, sometimes Gentile Christians. Yes, I said that, pagan. Why? Because a lot of them believe that you can be in the church and live like a devil. We have been called out, and Paul openly says, you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Well, Jesus didn't give any commandments. He sure did. In John 15, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Dear God in heaven, give me strength. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles. Even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Now, that big word there means sexual desire, lust, lustfulness, sexual appetite. It's an amazing thing when we think about what's going on here in America and how we can just do whatever we want. It's amazing to me. Well, you know, that's the way it is when we look at everything. You know, people do what they want, the churches do what they want. And you can't tell him anything. He goes on to say that no man go beyond and defraud his brother. He goes on to say, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but to holiness. And then he talks about brotherly love. Dear God in heaven, give us strength. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business, to work your own hands as we command you, that you may walk honestly toward them that were without, and that you may have lack of nothing. He says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Now you see this section here. Before he ever gets to this part here, you know, many in the Gentile church for decades, including the Assemblies of God, among others, believe in a pre-trib rapture. Of course, there's three, pre, mid, and post. I don't get into that. It's nonsense. The Lord's coming again, and when he does, if you haven't fallen away, he will pull you. And let me say that the prerequisite is just to know Christ and walk in the light as he is in the light. But we have connived a pre-trib rapture that many American Christians believe. And there's lots of websites and a lot of Baptists and others who absolutely believe it and defend it. And we also believe in a seven-year tribulation. Neither one of those are found in Scripture. Now, they say, the 70th week of Daniel. Well, I've covered the 70th week of Daniel. I brought in a scholar. We discussed it. And to say that tells you there's going to be a seven-year tribulation is speculation. We know how long it's going to be when the beast reigns. We know exactly how long it's going to be, 3.5 years. And there's little extra time that's in there between various scriptures. But this isn't a course on pre-trib rapture, because if you want to believe it, that's fine with me. I don't care. Matter of fact, I'm all for a pre-trib rapture. The way the world's going, you're kidding. You know, let's go. But I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen until it's time. And it won't be time. It's not time yet. But a lot of Christians, that's where they put it. And the reason I bring this up, because the church gets sloppy. We have Christians around the world. We've been reporting on them for years. And we've been dealing with the native church for years, over 2 decades now. And they prayed for deliverances. And we've reported on them dying of sicknesses. You know, you might think that many of them over there live and never, you know, they have miracles all the time and they don't die. Well, they do die. and they do die of diseases. And some of them get sick, and then they borrow money from a money lender, and they wind up like they do in India on the brick kiln for the rest of their life, working for a corrupted Muslim employer that lent them some money to go get well. So now they're a slave, and it takes a ministry with money to come in and buy their freedom. See, that's the way it works in the real world. For these brethren around the world, and even today, there's no pre-trib rapture yet. They know the Lord's coming. There's many of them are in prison. While Americans sit over here and have had wonderful lives compared to everybody else, have had everything. Big churches, nice cars, good jobs, retirement, health insurance, doctors. You know, God has blessed this country. And we've sent out missionaries. We've sent out humanitarian organizations like Samaritan's Purse, CBN, and others. But Americans get sloppy. They think that they can, the pastors included, and the deacons, they can commit adultery and just go say, "Jesus, forgive me," and that's it. And then go do it again. Well, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap, buddy. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to have the flesh reap corruption. So, yes, if we're walking in the light, 1 John 1, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we do sin, in that context, it says that, if we do sin, we have an advocate. We can go to the Lord and ask him to forgive us of that sin, and he is faithful and just to do just that, forgive us. But that doesn't mean you can go over and over and over on purpose, thinking it's okay. And now we have entire churches and their pastors and their deacons and their congregations openly walk in a manner that is totally anathema to God, and they think they're fine. They're going to wind up in the tribulation if they're still alive. But there's no reward for them. We've had major voices in the Christian music realm. Now, just because you have a natural talent, that does not get you into heaven. We've had pagans singing Christian songs forever. One minute Elvis Presley could rock his hips, rock and roll, enticing, seductive, and lustful. And the next minute he can be singing "How Great Thou Art," and it'll sound beautiful. But that does not make him any more saved than having a car, pulling it out of the garage and walking into the garage and saying, "Okay, I'm a car." No. Singing a Christian song doesn't make you Christian. You must be born again of the Spirit, not by the will of man. So what are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. We're talking about truth. We're talking about what trumpets actually represents is the coming of this God, your relationship to him. Now, the Jews do use that as a year, Rosh Hashanah, the beginning or head of a year, to dedicate the year to their God and to walk in him, and that's fine. But it's still a relationship mode. It's still relationship. And we can find the type when we're talking about all of this in many places. Well, you know, we had the first Adam, as Paul says, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit, because he quickens us with his power. He redeemed us by his blood. So through the first Adam came death, and the second Adam came life. Just like when Abraham took his son And he was getting ready to sacrifice his son to God because that's what he'd been told to do. And an angel suddenly appeared and said, "Lay not your hand on the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son." So Abraham lifted up his eyes, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. So he went and let his son loose and sacrificed the ram. So Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provides. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. I was talking about a banner in yesterday's show in Babylon's Burden. In Exodus 19:19, it says, "When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." See, that trumpet, that's an announcement. That's God is about to speak. You're about to have conversations. God is about to arrive. Look up. Be aware. Be awakened. Where do you stand? Do you know him? Are you walking the way you should? Have you taken care of everything you need to take care of? That's what this is about. It's not about a bunch of nice little meals. Now, the Jews do that in their traditions, and that's fine. We all like a good meal. But we rejoice in it, knowing that we have hope in this world with all of its problems. It's good to know we have hope. In Zechariah, there's a few verses, 14, we'll begin there. "And the Lord shall be seen over him, over them, and his arrow shall go forth as lightning, and the Lord God shall blow a trumpet, and he shall go with the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones, and they shall drink and make a noise as through wine, and they shall be filled with bowls as the corners of the altar, and the Lord their God shall save them in that day. As the flock of his people, for they shall be as stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign in his hand." Of course, this trumpet announces deliverance, announces a move of God. That's what we're looking at. Psalm 47:5, "God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet." The Lord is coming. The sound of the trumpet on the last trump. You know, we see Trump blowing a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, Judges 3:27. Isaiah 27:13, "The great trumpet shall be blown." He blows the trumpet. You hear the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blow not his trumpet, that's all in Exodus 33, 3 through 6. So when we're speaking of trumpet, we're speaking of announcement. There's an event coming. And here in Ezekiel, the watchman. He's the one that stands on the upper ramparts watching that horizon. And I discussed this in Babylon's Burden. You might want to listen to that. Yesterday's edition, it was part 19 of Isaiah. We're going to have a lot of parts by the time we're done. Good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise. It'll be a long study, but it's in depth. And but at any rate, the watchman. He can see that horizon. you can see the evidence of the enemy from a long ways away. And there's a lot of evidence, a lot of different things that happen. And that watchman is watching everything. And as a watchman, that's what you do. But you also warn. And if the gates are breached, that watchman, if he stays in that tower, will die. Because they're going to climb up there. They won't be worried about killing him right away, because they're going to kill all the other people who have swords. The watchman doesn't necessarily have a sword. He has the means to warn people. That's what he's there for. On the day of Jubilee, you know, Leviticus 25:9, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. On the 10th day of the 7th month and the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. That's the day of atonement. Numbers 10:10, also on the day of your gladness, your solemn days, the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, your sacrifices. Now, we don't worry about sacrifices and burnt offerings and all that because Christ fulfilled all of that. And the Jews, they're not in their temple, and they really don't have a way to do all that. They do sacrifice doves and a few other things, but to say that, and they do want a temple, and for them to get back to sacrificing animals like they did in the Old Testament, that's going to really cause a kibosh with the nation of pagan Gentiles, especially the greenies and the earthies and everything else. You know, the big thing now is the earth is going to be destroyed. Well, yeah, the earth is going to be renewed. But 500 climate scientists came out and in the wake of all of these kids. They were painting themselves green. There was another one out of the UK that out of the EU, rather. At any rate, that's a whole other deal. All to do with climate. You need to be fearing sin. You need to be stopping abortion. You need to be stopping the murders. I just got done with a series, Blood Guilt, 7 parts. You'll find it on my website, warren-usa.com. These are things you need to know and understand. The thing of it is, you know, it's really up to you. I'm not here to twist your arm. People that want to know this, they'll listen. People that don't, won't. That's fine. I'm not here to twist your arm. I'm here to give the word. I'm not here to be your buddy either. I'm here to say, thus saith the Lord. I'm not here to be your enemy. Joel 2:1, blow you the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Now, of course, that I cover that, the day of the Lord, in this Babylon's burden as well. The day of the Lord occurs quite a bit. And when we talk about this, Joel bringing this was judgment. The day of the Lord upon the nations of men today is coming. But if you can get people away from their lattes and their cell phones long enough, their computers, making money, maybe you can warn them. Throw a bucket of cold water over them and say, are you ready to listen? You ruined my cell phone. Well, you should have gotten one that's waterproof. Put the friggin' thing down. And get your butt over here, sit on this rock, and shut up and listen. Maybe you can get your soul saved if you understand the truth. Jude discusses some of this in the latter part of his epistle. Save some. Some you save with fear. That means you take the word of God, you give that word of God. Like Paul said, to some, to those who believe, we're a savor of life, but to those who don't believe, we're a savor of death. And there's a lot of, and that's why Christians are persecuted around the world, because of their message, because of Christ. And the miracles that we are seeing, which are Old Testament, you know, apostolic as well, prophetic, very big miracles, grand deliverances. And we see the enemies of God that come to the Lord. This is what the native people that are on the ground, that are leading their people and preaching and teaching the other people themselves, what even the enemies who were the enemies and who now come to the Lord, they say, that's what I was like. Yeah, magnificent. God is in charge, no matter what the world tries to tell you, or the church. You think the church is your friend? Oh, in America, I don't know about overseas, but I can tell you in America, absolute fact, we have our cliques. We have our politics. And here recently, we've even had pastors renounce their faith, one in particular, not too long ago. That's too bad. But it'll do it to you. I've been in there. I know the politics. I'm not much for politics anyway, but needless to say, the church are the people, the called out ones. We are the ecclesia. The bricks and stones just happen to be a place where we meet. The power is not in the building. The power is not in the name of the church or the denomination. The power is in the Christ who is within us. And when we gather together with that power, with him in us, we are that church. And you can meet by a stream, you can meet around a rock, you can meet in a valley, you can meet in a cave, and you can meet in a building that we call a church. God isn't coming back. Okay, gather all the bricks and stones. I'm taking them with me to heaven. No, they're corrupt. They would never make it in heaven. If you were going to build an altar to God on the earth, you'd have to do it with unhewn stones, with natural stones that lay. Not anything man has touched because it's corrupted. You don't understand that God is a holy God. Now, this is the one a lot of them do for the rapture, 1 Corinthians. There's two verses, 14:8 and 15:52. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? The trumpet, talking about a warning. And we do have a trumpet giving uncertain sound if we talk about a tone and a warning. A lot of churches say today, you know, have got people confused. Who's going to prepare for the battle if, you know? And that's the way a lot of the church is. They're expecting to go to the rapture, and what if they don't go when they're told they're going to go and they're here and all hell breaks loose? What are they going to do now? They haven't been prepared. That's the uncertain sound of a trumpet. There's a lot of types like that. But let's look at 15:52. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now see, that's exactly what's going to happen. There's nothing in this context that tells you that it's going to happen before the main part of the tribulation or anything else. But in our theology, hey, I know, and I've met, and I've listened to people who had doctorates, PhDs in biblical studies and languages and everything else. Well, I got news for you. Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest scholars of his time. And the Sanhedrin, the high priest himself, they all knew the original languages and tongues. They knew. And yet they didn't recognize the Lord when he came. It is not the knowledge to know all this other languages that makes you able to interpret scripture. It is the Spirit of God. And you can go to these pagan backslidden cemeteries or seminaries, and you can learn all that. Now, my instructor in college, he told the class simply, he said, corruption and heresy in the church begins at the highest levels in the seminaries, the Christian seminaries, and it trickles down through the pastors they send out. And we have been infiltrated. We got devils up there preaching. And because the people aren't spiritually aware, well, as we say in our neck of the woods, you're screwed. Well, see, even John, when you get into John, Revelation, you know, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard a great voice as of a trumpet. Revelation 4:1. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which says, come up hither, and I will show thee these things. This is John talking. That's what he hears. And then when you get to Revelation, guess what? He's using a trumpet before he looses the four angels. I mean, so when we discuss trumpets, it's a whole experience. Rosh Hashanah. And for many Gentiles, they don't know how to even hold a meal. And I do not condemn the Messianics or the Jews for wanting to have nice meals and use the types that the Jews have been using for centuries. The Jewish people have been keeping the feasts and the law for longer than most civilizations. It's ingrained in them. It's in their hearts. Of course they're going to do that. As Christians, we believe on the Lord, and Israel is our friend, and Jews are our friend, but except, as Paul says and warns in Romans 11, the Jews are enemies of the gospel for your sake. And he goes through and explains all that. That's a good section to study, by the way. And especially in our world today. And it is easy to get caught up and to miss a date or something because you are living in a different arena. Different time. And you have so many voices calling you, it's easy to lose track. Now, see, we went through in the beginning of this what they do during all these meals that they have when we're talking about this particular celebration. You know, they celebrate that it's the beginning of the year, but it's also the beginning of what they call the High Holy Days. And so we rejoice in the Lord that, you know, and I remember talking with a Jew. I've had a lot of Jewish friends. I've known a Jewish prophet. I've talked with his followers. And you know, the Jews believe in one thing. I mean, they all follow the law pretty much. They have different interpretations, but not like us. A Jew would want to know, well, what do you Gentiles believe? You have so many churches, you have so many different teachings. I mean, what do you believe? We do. Unfortunately, it takes knowing the Lord. I remember talking with one Jew, and he said, "I suppose you think you're saved now." Of course, he's talking from the standpoint, well, you can't be saved because you're still alive and here. In order to be saved, you have to be with God. Then you're saved, past tense. But see, God is a God of faith. He called the end from the beginning, and it was so. Jesus came. There was no question he was going to get through it. There's preachers that want to put something in it that says he wouldn't have made it. Of course he would have made it. He was anointed for it. He is empowered for it. He didn't come to fail. Yes, he was tempted, but he wanted to prove and show that he could overcome. Dressed in the flesh suit like we have. So when we say saved as a Gentile believer, we do so through Christ, believing that God will honor his word. And when we get through this life, we will be saved. We call it by faith. Scripture is saved. Even healing. For by his stripes you have been healed. Past tense. That's the new covenant. That is the atonement. It has been. Our sins have been atoned for. It's over. It's done with. Healing is included. Period. That's it. But yet there is going to be a time when this mortal body, which is clay, and I call it the body of death. Scripture says that. Has to be put off. All of man, because of the fall, all humans will die. Now, of course, the liberals are, for a long time, many, many years ago, I was looking into this. And we talked about it. And we know, I've been to the site many years ago where they were working to put their spirit or who they are into the computer. So the whole idea is to unload all your brain and all your thinking, and then you'll live within that machine forever. No, you won't. Unless you figure a way to take the spirit that God created and put it in that thing. But see, this is where it gets all muddled, because we really do have a lot of people believing you're going to be able to live. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, we can live longer if we eat the right foods. But see, the problem that we have, just as we're trying to eat the right foods, Isaiah says the curse has devoured the earth. There's a lot of problems today, and it's not global warming. It's the curse has devoured the earth. The other day when Franklin Graham was out doing his tour of America, the press was asking him, "What are you doing? What are you preaching? What are you saying?" And so he told about salvation. He says, "The problem in the world is sin." Yeah, it's not the economy, and it's not Donald Trump. It's sin. Yeah, well, the globalists don't like to admit there's sin or that there's a God. Because globalism, communism, socialism, and even capitalism is based altogether in the same line of philosophy. Human endeavor, human achievement, human pride. For everything that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of our Father and our God. Friendship with the world is an enmity with God. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. be holy as I am holy. You can find this in the New Testament. Well, we're not under the law and we do not have the commandments. We don't need to worry about them. Oh, yeah, you do. Christ said, I haven't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. No, we don't have to keep all the laws and all these other things, you know, 633, whatever it is. But we do have to observe walking in the light as the Lord is in the light. And we do have to follow these things. Christ came and fulfilled the law. The fulfillment of the letter of the law is what Christ did through love. And so this is, you know, a good time. And, you know, the Gentiles have theirs. A lot of them are holidays that the church created because the Jews persecuted the Christians so bad in the beginning that when it came down to all the various church councils like Nicaea and others, and then by the time Constantine really came into his own, you know, they had outlawed the fact that Christians should not be following any kind of the feasts or anything else, because you can get in a lot of trouble for that. And that was carried pretty much through. So they created their own feasts. They created their own holidays. And you really can't blame them, because they didn't want to mess angering the Jews anymore. So they created their own. And they melted them together. And so in the spring, a lot of the churches still today will celebrate Easter, while the Jews will celebrate Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost, all of which are fulfilled by the Lord, all of which we cover. They'll celebrate the birth of Christ in December. But nowhere does the Lord say to remember his birth. He gave communion. It says, by this you do show the Lord's death till he come. To remember the cross, the Calvary, and what he did, you have communion. And who did it? His body and his blood. That's what you were supposed to remember on the cross, not the cross itself. The cross was just a place where he hung, and that made him a curse. Cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree, but his blood and his body were sacrificed. And so these are the things that we need to understand and focus on. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for watching over us. Bless all those that hear it when they hear it. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Okay, so that concludes our trumpets. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get in an atonement before atonement. Today is the 4th. 6 days, I think we just might make it. I'll have to look and see. But we'll be having another study. Don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. I have lots of articles. Of course, I've got my books. I don't really promote a lot of those books. The latest series, this Steal the Darkness, I wrote, I don't know, a year and a half ago or something. And I spend all my effort writing articles, which are really lengthy. And I've got conservatively thousands of them. I write a lot. I'm a writer. And that's what I do. Write the word. And so on our websites, they reflect the word of God, Jesus Christ. And that's what they are. I stopped doing the news a long time ago. And then I turned around and they started talking about fake news. And I knew the Lord wanted me to get rid of the news. And the good news is Christ. What other news do I need? So I write about that. I preach about him, teach about him, write about him, pray about him, pray to him. Pray to the Father in his name. So at any rate, go by that. Remember, USA.life is the new Facebook and Twitter alternative. No, they don't pay me for this. But they wanted to make sure that when you got on it, you wouldn't have to face the same security and informational problems that you have on the other liberal sites, which use your information for their own profit. And, you know, I don't care for Facebook. LinkedIn is actually the more mature version of Facebook. Actually, people on LinkedIn treat each other pretty much with respect. At least they do from my corner of it. Instagram, we follow a lot of different doctors, as well as a lot of others. And it is a fun informational place to visit and to be part of. You can get a lot of information because the doctors that we follow are doctors on cutting edge research into diseases. These are people that have found cures for Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, and many other things that we have classified as impossible or it's too late. We know now the science is there. The proof is there. The blood tests are there that you can be healed and delivered from these things. Parkinson's, many, many other cancers, diabetes, autoimmune diseases. So you may see some stuff on Instagram that you say, well, I don't like her because she's a this or he's a that. Well, see, we follow these doctors for one reason. That is the science. So we can apply the science and eat the fruits, the vegetables, whatever they, you know, the stuff says. Tower and I have been doing this for a long time. And the bottom line of it is that the foods can heal. So with that, we are going to get out of here. So catch us next week. We'll see you. Shalom.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.